Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cholamandalam Financial Holdings Q4 FY22 results conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Agarwal from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Oman. Good morning, everyone. From the management team, we have Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Director of Cholamandalam Financial Holdings, Mr. M. Ganesh, Manager and CFO of Cholamandalam Financial Holdings, Mr. V. Suryanarayanan, MD of Chola MS General Insurance, and Mr. S. Venugopalan, CFO at Chola MS General Insurance. So I would request Mr. Sridharan to give us his initial remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Sridharan.
Thank you. So good morning to all, and hope all are doing well and your family also is doing well. Though the pandemic is slowly coming down, kindly take care of yourself. To start with, I think we have the entire team to answer and discuss with you your questions. Our MD, Mr. Suryanarayanan, and Venugopalan, CFO of Chola MS General Insurance, is there. Ganesh is also there, our CFO for Chola Financial Holding. We have posted the presentation, so you have an opportunity to go through this. And I'll just quickly walk through a few of the highlights. So we are, as usual, consolidating NBFC. Chola Finance's subsidiary and joint venture Chola MS Risk continue to report under Ind AS as per the regulatory requirement. I'll come straight away to the standalone financial performance. Chola Financial Holdings income consists of income by way of dividend, interest and royalty for brand use. Total income for the quarter ending March 22 is about 50.85 crores against 50.74 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Profit after tax is about 36.3 crores against 31.9 crores against the corresponding quarter last year. The consolidated results for the company consist of the results of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company and Chola MS General Insurance, as well as the Chola MS Risk, which is a joint venture. The total income for the current year ended, current quarter ended March 22 increased by 6% to 3,743 crores, while the profit after tax increased by 220% to 687 crores, primarily due to reduction in impairment charge on loans. I think there's quite a lot covered in detail on Cholamandalam Investment Finance Company. So I will go straight away into Chola MS General Insurance. Chola MS General Insurance registered a GDPI of 4,854 crores in FY22, an increase of 10.3% over the previous year, driven by increased contribution from new channels and growth in commercial and SME segment, offsetting the drop in financial channel. The growth excluding financial channel was 14.5%. The company continued well in changing the mix of product within the motor insurance. The share of two-wheeler has grown from 16% to 23%, and private car share has grown from 25% to 29%, resulting in a reduction in commercial vehicle share from 58% to 48%. The company maintained its leadership position in motor LOB in Tamil Nadu, Chhattisgarh, and targeting to reach number one in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. The company absorbed 262 crores of opening balance of deferred acquisition costs as per IRD advice. The company continues its good effort in making the compromise settlement. The solvency asset March 22 is 1.95 times after considering the disallowance of 165 crores of taxes paid towards contingent liabilities as per IRDA circular. This has an impact of 0.19 times in solvency, which means the solvency needs to be 1.95 plus 0.19 in the normal course. The major concern, I would say that Indian economy is inflation driven by crude oil as well as by the commodity price. The global yield on debt is increasing, and along with that, higher Indian government borrowing plan putting pressure on Indian debt market interest rate. Though such interest rate is beneficial for fresh investment in terms of the yield, the MTM value of the existing book would have a negative impact on profit booking. In summary, the company has addressed all the issues starting from provision on investment, absorption of DAC, and COVID claims. The company has invested in digitizing the process, customer interfaces, and analytics. It has strengthened the team and would grow from strength to strength from here. So I would now open up for Q&A. Thank you once again to all.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So there's a couple of questions. So one is, in the asset quality, we are seeing a 0.5% improvement. So GNPA has improved from 0.8 to 0.3. But no write-backs have flown in the PNL. So if you can help us understand what exactly has happened over there.
Devansh, could you please repeat your question? Asset quality, we can't hear you well.
Yeah. Also, asset quality GNPA has improved from 0.8% to 0.3% QOQ, but we are not seeing any write-backs that have come for us. So, if you can help us understand.
On the NPA part?
No. This is on the, you are talking NPA of the NBFC business. Is that correct?
No, the investment book of the general insurance business.
Okay. Okay, can you please go ahead with your next question? We will take note of that.
So, yeah, so regarding investment book only, if you can help us understand the fixed and floating bond mix, so we can assess the incremental impact on the increasing yields on our fixed bonds, which can come. So this was regarding the investment book. I mean, in our operating expense, we are continuously seeing this step up, especially in advertisement and publicity expense. Even if I adjust it for the one-off, the amortization which is happening, this amount has almost increased by 50% YOY. And the kind of benefit we are not seeing in the business growth, the only benefit is probably the mix change that has happened in the motor business. But other than that, we are probably growing in line with the industry or probably around that. So when this growth can be, you know, higher than the industry, and where exactly are these investment in ad expense? Are these the ads that we see on the television, or these are variable in nature for the distribution? So that is one. In fire business also, we are lagging growth compared to our peers, and these are highly profitable segments. So what exactly is happening there? In our prepaid expenses, the amortization was, I think, 36 crore and 80 crore was expected. So why lower amortization has happened, and what is the current balance of prepaid expense which is yet to be amortized?
Yeah. Some of the replies, I will take the last one first. So on the prepaid expenses, there is nothing that is left to be absorbed as at March 22. IRDA had advised us to absorb the complete portion of prepaid expenses relating to sourcing costs by the year end, that is March 22. So whatever you are seeing, if at all anything on the balance sheet, as prepaid expenses are normal prepaid expenses, and there is nothing to do with sourcing costs. So there is no more overhang from the past. That's the first point that I would like to clarify. And then there was a question on the investment book. There is, in the presentation deck, there is a complete analysis of the investment book overview. It is page 53 of the investment, the complete presentation deck that is put out on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly, we can see that the change in portfolio is also happening, where the gradual shift away from the GSEC book into the housing infrastructure book is happening. And here in housing infrastructure, we are investing only in the PSUs and infrastructure bonds of banks. The bond, the infra bonds issued by ICICI or HDFC Bank and Axis Bank are the ones that we invest in. So while this shift is happening, the question was also about the write-backs. One are stressed assets that existed, namely in Reliance Capital, as also in ILFS, is by and large fully dealt with. At best, we may have only about 12 crores of exposure that is open assets with respect to ILFS. But then we know that recovery is certainly on the cards, both in the case of ILFS as well as in Reliance Capital. And these would get recognized on cash basis as and when the inflows happen, hopefully in 22-23. So is there anything else that you require on the investment book?
Yeah, there is
the other two questions.
Yeah, one clarification.
I will handle the investment book first. Yeah, please.
See, I think one of the questions asked is that how much is locked as a fixed interest and how much is locked as variable interest. I think it is, everything is fixed interest, but you have a capability to sell and move. But we have bank deposits for almost 8.7% of the entire investment book is kept to take advantage of the higher interest rate that will come in the future. So that's how we kept the whole thing under the bank, which is like you can quit and then move to the higher interest yield.
Okay.
Yeah. So now I will move on to the other question, which is relating to OPEX. This year certainly was a year of transition, where it is not just the opening prepaid expenditure that had to be absorbed, but also on the long-term business that we procure. Also, the complete cost had to be absorbed, so which is also reflecting in the overall the combine of OPEX and the commission costs, the marketing costs and all of it. And as we have mentioned in our earlier calls, our long-term business proportion is roughly about 8-10%, ranging between 8-10% of our top line. These relate essentially to the dwelling businesses that we write, where the typical tenure goes up to 10 years. And then the credit link, the personal accident businesses that we write, where again it goes up to 5 years. And in some of the benefit health policies that we write, which goes up to 3 years. So these are the long-term businesses that we write. And to the extent that we have growth in the volumes of these businesses, the P&L takes the hit upfront by way of acquisition costs, even though the earnings on the premium would flow over the period that I had mentioned with respect to each of these categories. So this effect is there. But as the growth in these products stabilize, it will reach an equilibrium where you will not have any incremental volumes. You would also have noticed that our volumes from the presentation deck, that our volumes did go up rather sharply in Q4, both in the health as well as in the PA side. For instance, it is there in slide the present 48 of the presentation deck. You would have noticed that our health growth in Q4 was fairly robust at about 46%. And likewise, we returned back to the reasonable growth in personal accident in Q4. So all this is also going to mean that the cost gets absorbed upfront.
Okay. But when we look at our OPEX, the percentage of net written premium, it's at 36%, and that is almost 7-8% higher than our peers. So I'm still not able to understand why are we such a big deviation.
Let me explain that. I wouldn't know whom you are looking at, peers. But to give you a perspective on how the cost is actually peters out in the industry, those companies which have a fairly large component of government business, namely the crop business or any other government health business, are likely to have a lower OPEX, because in those government businesses, there is nothing called sourcing cost. Or if at all it is there, it is very, very marginal. More to do with the banking related costs by way of enrollment costs that they incur in the crop business. Otherwise, there are no intermediaries. These are tender businesses, and therefore, companies that have a high proportion of crop will have their cost structure fairly lower. Companies which do not have any crop business means that their business is largely intermediary driven. And therefore, to that extent, you will find that the cost structure is at a different level. And going by numbers that we have seen with respect to competition, we believe that amongst companies that do not have crop business, we compare reasonably there. So that probably would explain why there is that difference of 6, 7, 8%, whatever is there.
Okay. So as a percentage of net written premium, it is at 36% as of now. What would be our outlook for, next 2 to 3 years? How much should OPEX be as a percentage of net written premium?
As I said earlier, definitely on the operating expenses, the absorption base gets bigger as we grow, and therefore it can reduce. I would tend to think that it can come down by about 1-2% at that level. But other than that, given the structure, that we are unlikely to have any large government business on our GWP, we may not be able to see a very substantive change because the sourcing costs would continue to exist. So we may not be able to see a very substantive change there. But then the efficiency certainly will creep in on a larger base. That is definitely going to be there. And the OPEX related absorption would definitely trickle down. That will definitely come into the P&L. So from the current level, we can certainly see about a 2% change is something that we can certainly look forward to.
Okay, so that was really good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Sanket Goda from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. If you look at fourth quarter exit motor OD loss ratio, seems to be 80, it is reported at 83%. So it's definitely very elevated compared to what we have reported in 9 months of the current year or FY22. So just wanted to understand if you want to extrapolate it to FY23, will you see this 83 as a new normal or 70 plus as a more normalish number to get into FY23? And if you assume, if you believe it is 70 to be kind of a number, then what could be the levers to achieve that kind of a figure? That's question on motor OD. Similarly, on motor third party, exit has marginally increased at 67. So we had a big lockdown benefit in the entire year, especially in the first quarter. So just wondering whether we will go back to that 80s, 90s kind of a number in 23 if things normalize as we enter into it. So that's on motor OD, motor business. I mean, if you can answer this, then maybe I have a couple of questions on health and investment book.
Yeah. So first on the motor OD business, yes, 82.8 is one of the highest there. We certainly see that at around the mid-70s is what we look at the motor OD, given the current competitive intensity in the market. What would bring it from the 82.8 is very clearly the effect on the earnings arising from the change in composition would start reflecting. For instance, you can see that our proportion of two-wheelers has been going up continuously. These earnings, whatever we have grown, the full effect will be there in the current year. And naturally, between the various categories, we know that comparatively, the OD loss ratios on two-wheelers is lower than what we see in cars or commercial vehicles for that matter. So that weight reduction is what will bring in. Second, the element is also that the pricing certainly on the new vehicles is far better. The portfolio is also seeing an improving, changing mix of new vehicles which is coming in. Last year it also meant that the proportion of older vehicles was much higher, but then the earnings impact arising from the new vehicles is certainly likely to be better. Or whatever we have done by way of new vehicles, even in the Q4 and Q3 and Q4 of the previous year, they are likely to reflect here. So these two would be very clear factors. Besides efficiency factors that would always be there. But then we also have to understand that there is also the inflation push that will come in by way of both the parts prices as well as the labor charges. So while efficiency will take care of that, these two factors, the increasing proportion of new vehicles and the mix effect is what is likely to bring our OD loss ratios down to the mid-70s, given the current market situation. So this is on motor OD. On motor TP, can I proceed with the motor TP?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Sorry, you answered it. Yeah.
So on the motor TP, yes, the 2 years, 2021 and 21-22, did see some benefit coming out of the lockdown, which is reflected in the P&L of not just Chola MS, but also across other insurers as well. This year, all of us are likely to see an increase from the reported levels of motor TP loss ratios. The anticipated price increase can be some relief, but it is still awaited. We expect the final notification to come through. Not just at the draft exposure level, but at a slightly higher level as well. But that can help smother down some cost push that can be there.
Okay.
We certainly see TP loss ratios going up from definitely from FY21 and FY22 levels. I would tend to think that we are more likely to go closer to about our FY21 levels is what I would tend to think that we will get closer to, which is at about, we have reported 79.7, so we would certainly go closer to that.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Any motor TP, given two-wheeler component is increasing, that acting as a buffer should play a role, or even factoring that, you think 80 is most likely the number to be reported in motor TP?
No, see, Motor Vehicle Act impact is something that, while it has been notified, we will have to wait to see how the courts react to it. But then, yes, the real test would be on 1st October when it has to be, when the 6 months would clearly have passed, at least for the first claim. So that is what would tell us very clearly as to how the courts are going to react. So I'm not too sure if companies would start even seeing the benefit out of the NV Act straight away by way of faster reporting. But then some other benefits that were there in the NV Act benefit by way of, pay and recovery orders, and those things can start showing some benefit from which too. So that one can expect. But then we are not really factoring in any of these at this point in time. The good thing is that it has been notified. We'll have to really wait and see as to how the courts react and actually implement the law.
Got it, sir. So given MBA got implemented now, so do you think any because leverage, investment leverage has been a biggest one of the biggest brownie points of our business model. So though it can improve potentially the loss ratio. The negative impact assume the 6 month clause gets potentially fully implemented on face value. Any thought you have made or internal working you have made which could have a potential impact on the investment leverage or float on motor TP business?
Given the larger proportion of the motor business as such, and also the fact that we've been doing fairly well on the long-term premium accretion. The book size of long-term premium has only been growing. And as at March 22, I think the number is, we know about 1,200 crores?
Yes.
Okay.
So at that level, effect and chain is going to continue. Yes, to an extent, we, with faster reporting.
Can you hear me, sir?
Payments are also made earlier. But I think I would see that as possible impact or challenge for 23-24 and not necessarily for 22-23. We have to first experience the faster reporting. That trend we will have to see.
My broader question was that the benefit of our cost ratios should be overwhelming the negative impact of lower leverage, and therefore net it is ROE accretive. That's the way you look at it.
Very clearly, yes. Yeah, definitely it augments the investment corpus and therefore the investment income. And to that extent, yes, it will help the PBT, PAT and the ROE. That much is certain. No, not in doubt at all.
Got it, sir. So, two questions. One is even on health, given we did not have anything largely anything with respect to COVID in the fourth quarter, we usually are in health and PA less than 50% combined, or the loss ratio company in the historical past. I know the indemnity part has gone up and all those things, but still at 79% kind of a loss ratio in the fourth quarter in health and PA put together looks little on the higher side. Again, wanted to understand why it led to that deterioration. And finally, if you can disclose the average duration of the bonds, what we hold, that will be useful, sir.
The proportion as compared to the past, the proportion of indemnity and benefit product health is different for the current year, especially with the financial channels and the consequent attachment businesses of PA and benefit health products not really being up to the optimal level. But then we did see that change in trend in Q4. We've seen a larger proportion of benefit products coming back and the PA products coming back, which should help reduce the health travel and PA loss ratios further from the Q4 level of about 78.9. But it may not go back to our historical levels of 40 or 42. But because there is an indemnity business which is there, and indemnity businesses cannot be run at that kind of loss ratios.
Right.
We would only tend to think that this 78.9 can definitely go down to about 70 as we go along, which is a fairly an acceptable loss ratio for that portfolio. That is how we would like to look at it.
So the current mix of health into indemnity and benefit, if you can disclose.
Yeah. So presently, we are at somewhere around our health. For example, our indemnity benefit was something at around 38% indemnity and 62% was the bundled benefit products. So this is what I'm saying. So this is while we would want them to be 50-50 by the growth of indemnity over a period of time, a higher proportion of benefit is actually beneficial in terms of balancing the loss ratio.
So this mix 38-62, what you have given is only health, right? It is not health and PA put together, right?
It is actually health and PA put together.
Got it, sir. And last, if you can speak about the duration of the bonds.
Duration, Venu, correct me if I'm talking from memory here. So our duration was at about 3.4 years.
Yeah,
okay.
3.5.
So that is what we are. And as Sridhar mentioned earlier in the call, we have a fairly large component in bank deposits. Mm-hmm. Which can be redeployed for advantage. Of course, it is factored in the duration workings, but then that is the flexibility that we have without losing anything on the interest rate.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Thank you. That's it so much.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Kashyap from Broadview Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Sorry to have joined in a bit late. I have a few basic questions. First is on the provisions and all cost absorption that you mentioned that the company has taken from here. So the right reflection of the current year FY22 PBT is what, 350 crores in your view? What is the base from which we can build growth from here?
I think base level is about 300 crores.
No. Okay. And one broader question was that if you look at the investment book, which is around 12,500 crores now, which was 9,300 crores a couple of years back, and that's growing from here. So if one were to look at a close to 7% or 6.5-7% growth, investment return on that book, which is growing, you are kind of with a 900 crores of investment income. And even if the GWP were to grow at 12-14% from here, and you kind of model a 107% core at the overall level, unlikely that we'll lose anything more than 350-400 crores. So is it fair to say that 500 crore PBT of the business is more or less a fair reflection, maybe a year or two out for the business? If not this year, then next, but at some point we should logically arrive at that number. Is it a fair way of understanding the way that or the direction in which we are headed?
Your assumptions are certainly on the investment book side, earnings, and that is quite logical, and we would tend to concur with that. On the core business side, yes, we last year, 2021-22, we returned back to the growth path with a 10% plus growth. The numbers for April are out, and therefore I can say we have begun the new year well. April, of course, on a much the base effect was certainly there both for industry and also for Chola MS, but we have begun the year well. But as growth rate increases, you will find that there will always be the pressure of absorbing cost up front. So that pressure will be there. Definitely, yes, on a, over a two-year period, we certainly see very clearly things stabilizing down to a good level of profitability.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Yash Mehta from Steinberg Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So, sir, I just wanted to first juxtapose the your comment on competitive intensity with the changing composition of our business. Now, as I see, over the last 3-4 years, we've increased the share of passenger vehicles, two-wheelers and private cars both, at the same time reducing the share of CV. My question is, what is allowing us, how are we able to kind of gain share in these favorable segments, especially when there has been a rising competitive intensity in the industry? So that's my first question. The other two are not related.
Let me proceed to answer. We have grown fairly strongly in the two-wheeler space. As I have even mentioned, even in the earlier calls, the driver has been the entry into several OEM programs, which has actually helped us gain a market share of about 15% in new two-wheelers that are sold in the country. We are present in almost all OEM programs in two-wheelers. Likewise, in cars, we are present. We have added our OEM partnerships. For example, last year, 21-22, we entered the Renault-Nissan partnership, where we are one of three players in the program. So that has helped us grow. Besides, we have been stepping up our market share and presence in the Hyundai business. We continue to be a fairly significant player in the Toyota business. Maruti, we operate in a few states that have been allotted to us. So these are the drivers behind the growth. And our own, as I have even said this in earlier calls, our presence in Tier 3 towns has helped us leverage even the motor business pretty well, not just in the older vehicles where the POSPs and agents bring in the business, but also we are able to reach out to the dealerships in these markets better because of our market presence there. So that is what has helped us grow in both cars and two-wheelers over the last couple of years, or last 3 years fairly significantly.
Understood. And would it be a fair assumption to say that, let's say, given that the intent, like many other players, the competitors would want to enter into and get share of the OEM business, well, the higher expense ratio that we see in our shareholders' account, is that, like, this is a profit and loss account, is that
a reflection of lower margins on OEM because you're having to pay to these OEM effectively to get share from them.
Yeah, so without getting into whom do we pay, see the competition, competitive intensity is not just on the payout, but it is also on the level of premium discounts that are prevalent. There was an earlier question on motor OD loss ratios heading to the north, not just for us, but for almost the entire industry. The driver is essentially the discounts that prevail for various categories and various products. And there is a lot of difference also. The discount level for a new vehicle will be very different. The discount level for a consequently on a first year renewal will have to follow it. It can't be any different because the customer is going to see a point. Having bought a premium for a new vehicle at a certain discount, next year he is not going to pay anything more, a rupee more, especially if he has had no claim. So the first year premium often is an, sets the benchmark for the premium levels in the first two subsequent years at least. So this therefore has some sort of a cascading effect, and which is where the competitive intensity is fairly high. Because everybody wants the newer vehicles. I also talked about that the newer vehicles earned premium is higher, and therefore that will help the loss ratio down is what I mentioned a few minutes back. So that is what causes the competitive intensity.
Understood. And you have mentioned that the financial channel has been declining. Now, sorry if this is a basic question, because I want to understand, in general, we have seen a recovery in disbursements. So do you expect it to grow along, or there are some structural reasons for the decline in the financial channel?
No, we are seeing the revival in that channel. Yes, we are seeing the revival. The last 2 years, yes, the financial channels had their own problems to contend with in terms of portfolio management and otherwise. Now we do certainly see, in Q4 we did see some change. And even in the month of April, we have seen some change there. And in fact, even in the financial channels, we keep only adding partners there. And therefore, we certainly expect that the volumes to improve. And therefore, in the composition that was mentioned earlier, we would tend to think that our CVs would still more or less continue at around the mid-40s is what we would tend to think in terms of the motor composition.
Mid-40s, I said. Composition, motor composition of...
commercial vehicles. Commercial vehicles. Understood. The proportion of commercial vehicles in the motor business.
Understood. Fair enough. And my last question is, so you last quarter you mentioned 350 crores as the baseline PBT. In the current call, if I heard it correctly, it was around 300 crores. My only question is, what is the divergence here and from like in a quarter's time and as far as the resumption to profitability is concerned, when would that be visible?
So generally, we don't give out any estimates of profits, so these are just larger numbers that we discuss. The only point is, I only keep saying,